LA Talk Radio thanks you for being a listener. Did you know you too can host your own radio show with us? Go to our site at latalkradio.com or email info@latalkradio.com right now and start your show today.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
How was your week?
It's all right. It's all right.
It's all right.
It's all right.
What's going on? Would you have any fun adventures with Colton?
Not to Berry Farm, but that's,
Was that standard? Is that like...
We have a season pass.
It must have been kind of hot, right?
It actually wasn't that bad. It was like 80-something. It wasn't too bad. Saturday wasn't bad.
What's his favorite ride at Knott's Berry Farm?
The Bigfoot?
Oh, the Rapids.
The Rapid thing?
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's good. He likes that one.
Is Montezuma's Revenge still there?
Yeah.
That's a classic.
That's a good one. This is the first time he went that he wanted to ride the Ghost Rider.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. It's in like an hour. It's like a 70-minute wait to get on that thing. But, I mean, it's worth it. It's like a minute-long roller coaster.
So is he like, gung-ho about roller coasters, or is he just, like, warming up to them?
He's warming up to them. Yeah. Like, it's not bad.
Do you find, like, I find as I get older, roller coasters are not as...
I hate roller coasters now.
Yeah, it's...
Ghost Rider doesn't bother me because it's like long. It's the ones with, like, the sharp turns and the twists and the upside down.
Like, do you feel a little nauseous?
Yeah, it scrambles your brain.
Yeah, like I never used to feel like that on a roller coaster.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's just
I can't
like,
go to Six Flags anymore. Whoa. It just destroys me.
Yes. But, you know, some of those rides are awesome. They're like, oh, my God, they're sensory overload.
Yeah, but I can't do it anymore.
It's too much.
My brain's done.
So is he like, come on, Dad, let's go on the big one? And you're like,
he's still a little apprehensive about it. Please. He's still a little apprehensive, but, you know.
With baby kids. Steps. Kids, huh? Kids. Is he like feeling like a Hollywood kid now that he's in that documentary?
Yeah.
He's like,
takes his big time.
Dad, I'm famous.
I gotta get him in touch with our guest from last week.
I know, dude. You're slacking.
I know.
Dude, up to no good.
I barely get my career off the ground. I can't worry about two people. I can't deal with it.
Let me ask you, like, if he just makes it into, like, a booming success, will that make you go,
No.
You'll be cool with it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you should.
As long as he pays for my stuff. I'm totally cool with it.
You're gonna like, Gary Coleman
him? He pays my bills? I'll be totally fine with it.
He's like, no, you only made $5 from this production. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I've got the point now where it's like, I don't care about fame. I just want to work. I just want to survive at this point.
Right,
so I just want money. So I don't even care about the art anymore. I just want to make money.
That's a really good place to be in.
So screw the art.
That's tough. You know,
I'm tired of being a starving artist.
Well, it's like comedy is just, it's not what it used to be. You know what I mean? I think it's really weird how...
Give me the money and then I'll worry about art later. That's where I'm at.
Well, that's all right. You know what? We'll fix that. We'll fix that, Eddie. We'll fix that.
You always go back to the art.
Well, I had a really relaxing weekend, just kind of aimlessly, just relaxing.
Doing what?
Nothing. Just lazing about.
You didn't go anywhere? You always go on trips.
You know what? I needed a weekend where it's just like, nah, nothing. Yeah. Go get a massage, just hang about.
Who massaged you?
Dude, you know what? I'm going to rock your world with this. Have you ever gotten a reflexology massage? It's an ancient form of Chinese.
Yeah, it's the foot thing.
Oh, man. It is the shit.
Where'd you go?
So there's a place called Shanghai Foot Massage. It's right on Olympic and Fedora, I think. It's so shady. It's like in like this...
It's a rub and tug?
It's not a rub and tug, but it's like in the back where like it's like the back kitchen area of.
Sounds like a rub and tug.
No, it's not a rub and tug. I promise. Happy ending. I promise. Mm. But you know what's really funny is, you know, when I go weeks without it, it like I feel tense. But if I get it, like it's so cheap. Like I don't know how people don't do it. So
well, they have the one on Ventura Pampered Foot Spa.
Yeah,
that's not bad. Yeah. I've been there.
What is it? $20
$25 for an hour massage.
Yeah, see. See, now I've gotten to the point where I'm like, $25? No way. It's $20 a
month. What do you tip them?
$10. What about you? $5?
No, for the hour, I give them 20.
You give them $20? Yeah. Look at you.
If you're going to rub my whole body for an hour, including my feet, I'll give you $20.
I give them 10 for an hour and
so it's
15.
Like a, it's 45 for an hour, basically. It's 25 plus the 20. I'm like, but that's then, money well spent.
Yeah, but then you'll be, okay, so how often do you go, though?
Once every 2 months.
Oh, see, yeah, see, you're blowing it. You're blowing it. Yeah. You could be going every week if you just give a little bit less and you just,
no.
You know?
I feel bad for those people. I mean, you got to rub all those weird bodies and feet. I'm going to definitely pay you $20.
Have you ever done the stones? You ever done the, like,
I've done cupping. You ever had cupping done?
No. How's that?
Crazy.
Is it feel good?
Not so much while they're doing like it. Yeah, the coughing. Not so much while they're doing it. It feels kind of weird and kind of hurts a little bit because it's usually on your back.
Yeah.
And
you get sores from it, right?
You get bruises, circles all over your back because it's pulling all the toxins out. You get like all these red circles all over your back.
But does it feel like you actually got...
Afterwards, you feel very relaxed and you kind of feel drained for like 2 days.
Oh, that's not fun.
No, but it's like a good, like, it feels like a, you do after like a cleanse, like you feel cleaned out.
Really?
Yeah, it's weird. It's a weird feeling. It's not, I like it. The first time I did it, I didn't like it as much, and then I went back and did it again, and I liked it better.
So have you done acupuncture?
No.
I want to do that. I want to do acupuncture and cupping next. But I'm really, I got to tell you, do the hot rocks and the hour massage. I don't know if that
Where the hot rocks go?
The hot rocks, they put oils on your back, and they heat these rocks, mm-hmm. and they rub the rocks all over your back. And, man, they do that to
us. Is this all part of the $20 place?
This is, all part of the $20 place. It's amazing, dude. Mm. Honestly, you know what the weird thing is? When I tour, it's like I'm so tense because it's like I've got 6 children. That's what it's like. I mean, I love my band.
Do you tell them that?
Oh, yeah, all the time. I'm like, man, this is like the best birth control ever.
There's a bunch of fucking kids.
No. They're like responsible and everything, but it's like, I got to make sure they got wake up calls. I got to make sure they're getting shuttles to the airport. I got to make sure they're fed. I got to make sure all of that. You know, that's what you do as a band leader. So when I'm on the road, I'm cracking the whip. I'm like sleeping maybe 3 hours.
Isn't that the band? Isn't like the manager's job, the road manager?
Yeah, but I am my own road manager. Mm-hmm. You know? You know what? I have a road manager too, but man, nobody ever does it like I can do it. That's
so you're just a control freak.
Well, it's not that I'm a control freak. It's like, man.
What you just described as a control
freak. Well, but you know what? It's like, you know, when I ask somebody else to do something, mm-hmm. it's not always done the way it needs to be done.
That's a control freak.
No, that's like, that's attention to detail.
Textbook definition of a control freak.
But when I come back from the road and I have finished playing shows and I haven't slept and I get one of those massages, man, it is like the biggest relief. Completely head to toe, it's just the best.
Mm.
So I get them about once a week, and it just gets my week kind of in order.
All right.
So I usually do them on Sunday nights. This one I did on Saturday night. So that's what I did. Just relaxed. I'm going to try your cupping.
That's kind of far from home, isn't it?
No, where like did you say it was? 15 minutes.
Where did you say it was?
Olympic and Fedora. Olympic and Normandy. So it's about 15 minutes from where I am.
Okay, is that Thai?
No. That's
Olympic
the opposite
and
direction.
Fedora.
I've never done a Thai massage, but I hear good things about that.
Rub and tug.
Look at this. We never. I didn't know you even liked massages, Eddie.
No, I like massages.
See.
We don't need to know that about anybody. No one needs to know that about anybody. That's personal
TMI.
Information.
Well, you know what? Do you prefer a man or a woman massaging?
Man.
Yeah, me too, dude.
I don't mind a woman as long as she's like
rough.
A lot of pressure.
Yes,
I like intense pain when I get in massage.
Yeah, me too, dude. That's so
it's
funny.
I'm fine with a woman if she does that. Otherwise, give me a man.
But I feel a little guilty when I'm like making a woman like really just like get in there. I'm like harder.
Yeah, harder. I want to be in pain. I want to be in pain.
Yes, that's the best. Well, you know what, Eddie? Your birthday's coming around the corner.
Yeah. Give me
maybe
a,
I'll take you to a little Shanghai foot massage.
A little rub and tug.
No, it's not a rub and tug. Mm. Don't be dude.
It sounds like it is.
Don't make my
place.
Behind
a kitchen in an alley, it sounds like a rub and tug.
Well, it's in like a shopping center.
Chickens running. It's a rub and tug.
Oh, man. But it is, honestly, it is, it's the best. It's the best of the best. I got to tell you, I never knew that you could get a massage that good for $20. I mean, that's just crazy. That's crazy.
Well, they stay open because of the rub and tugs.
Well, I'm sure.
Because people go in and throw the 50s and 100s down for the...
But they're booked like
that. That's how they're able to subsidize your $20 massage. Through their $100 rub and tugs.
I don't think so. Maybe your places, but not this place. Because it's all out in the open. I mean, you wouldn't see it.
Rub and tug, do you prefer a guy or a girl?
I've never had a rub and tug. Never, I promise, swear to God. You look at you. You're rolling your eyes. I promise. You got some stories can see.
All right. I prefer a guy because he really knows how to work it. Guys know what to do.
We're getting a little personal, but anyways, it looks like our special guest has arrived. Mr. Evan Bloom, say hello. He's like, speaking of rub and tugs.
I have a rub and tug story.
Oh, dude. Let's get into it.
Well, there's a massage place in Westwood, and I got an hour massage, just like you. Long week, gotta get it. And at the very end, you know how you go on your back usually for the end, your stomach up. And the woman just like touched the towel, around the groin area. Like, you want lotion here? Is how she, prefaced this question.
Yeah.
And I was like, no. And then she's like, okay. And then just ended the massage like 10 minutes early, because I had an hour. And I talk about control freak. I set a timer when I get an hour massage. I don't trust any of these people. I really do.
So she was allotting 10 minutes for a rub and tug?
I don't get it, but she just stopped.
That's a long time to get tugged on.
So I said no. She's like, okay. She like patted me and like left. And I was like, okay, I literally set a timer. I know for a fact.
Excuse me, I've got 10 minutes.
Oh. Yeah, and then so, we were checking out, and it was just, it was very weird. And then she, she gave me the receipt, and I didn't really give her a good tip because she ended early.
Wow.
And then she, playfully slapped me the receipt, oh, no tip. Like, this is a small tip. And I was
Where's the name? What's the name of this place? Where's it located?
I just left. This is a great way to
Where's
start
this. Where's
this place at? This is in Westwood. I have no idea the name.
I can't believe she thinks you're going to a 10-minute rub and tug. That's a long...
Yeah, there's no way. There's no way.
Eddie, you obviously have a story.
No, I don't. Yeah, I'm just imagining.
No, wait.
Masturbating for 10 minutes.
When I said I've never had a rub and tug, you looked at me like, I have, but I'm not going to tell this story.
No, I don't have a story. I'm just saying that's a very long time.
Okay.
For a tug. 10 minutes?
10 minutes. For the average man, it's
that's a long time.
That's commitment.
Right.
That's commitment.
Right.
That's a lot of tug. That's a lot of tug.
That's a lot.
Well, you go to this guy's place and get back to us next week.
Yeah, I will. I'll check it out.
I mean, you don't know what you're capable of, You can push yourself.
You have potential, Eddie.
You can push yourself to places you didn't know you could
10 minutes. That's just a lot of control. That's right. A lot of self-control in 10
well,
minutes.
Let's talk about your music instead of all this rub and tug.
Okay. That'd be a great place.
Okay.
Evan, you've been a producer, singer-songwriter for years. How did you get into music? Let's go back.
8 years.
8 years exactly to the day.
Well, I started when I was 18, and I'm 26 now. So 8 years.
How did you know at 18 that's what you wanted to do? That's crazy.
I played guitar from 7th grade to 9th grade. And, I just learned songs, right? They had the instructor come over. I didn't really write or anything. I just learned the songs he taught me. It's all the introductory songs, Sunshine of Your Love or whatever.
Yeah.
Put the guitar down all high school. Got into girls and partying and being an idiot. So completely forgot about it. Lost every ounce of skill that I had. I had to start over. I didn't know any. I forgot all the
things. Wow, that's crazy.
And then senior year of high school, I just found my guitar under my sister's bed and just had one of those and just picked it up again and just got at it. And then I think I had two real pivotal moments. Pivotal moment number one is I went for a bike ride and I was with my friend, but we had some separation on the bike ride, so I was like, I'm gonna sing a song that stuck in my head. It was Akon's Beautiful.
Nice.
You're so beautiful.
And that's one of Eddie's favorite songs.
It's a real sellout, post Akon song, but I don't know. I sang it and I was like, wow, maybe I'm not that bad at singing. Maybe I should try to sing
do
it.
This.
Maybe I should try to sing and
maybe
play
I'm
guitar
a star.
At the same time. No, I didn't get there. I was like, I should just sing and play guitar at the same time.
Yeah.
That thought never crossed my mind.
What?
In 3 years of playing, I wish my teacher told me, hey, you should try writing a song or you should try singing. They never.
So you've never done chorus, nothing?
No, I never sang a note.
That is nuts,
I mean,
dude.
I probably hummed, whatever, but I never sang a note in my whole life. And then the next pivotal moment is when I was just hearing No Diggity by Blackstreet.
It's a great
one night,
song.
And I was just like, this is the best song I've ever heard. And I was like, I'm going to try to write a song. And from there on, it was fucking game over. Can I swear on here?
Mm-hmm.
Now you can.
We talked about jerking off for 10 minutes.
Okay, all right. Well, you know, the PC version. I don't know. So after No Diggity, it was just like, I've probably been writing every day for 8 years.
Damn.
Like, I got.
It's funny that that's
I'm pretty
the song.
Obsessive.
Like, what happened when you got to the Beatles? Because I saw the Beatles sticker on the back of your car.
Oh,
I mean, from No Diggity to the Beatles, that's a big leap.
I don't know what it is about like that hip hop flow with that melody and No Diggity, but once I got to the Beatles, it was really fucking game over.
Yeah, yeah.
That was sophomore year of college when I really got into them. So I was 19, 20? And like I've always heard the Beatles, you know, and loved them as a kid, whatever, the hits. But like that's when I listened album by album, track by track.
Oh man.
And I fucking shit my pants. I was like, because like, you know, it's like you have friends and everyone knows the Beatles, but no one's gonna like sit you down and go listen to every track on Sgt. Pepper's.
Yes.
Listen to every track on Magical Mystery Tour. Like no one's gonna do that for you.
Right.
You gotta do it for yourself. So once I did that, I mean, I was already knee deep in like this is what I want to do. But once I heard the Beatles, woo. Like, man.
It's crazy how revolutionary they were.
It goes in your DNA.
Yeah.
Your musical DNA. And everything you write from that point forward is influenced by them.
Yep.
Every melody, the shape, melodic shapes, the inventiveness, the just fearlessness and the innovation, just constantly searching to do something new and crazy. From album to album, their progression, from the start, the simple love songs, all the way to the trippy psychedelic stuff.
They took chances. It's like, man, they did some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
I heard the best story. Paul McCartney
totally
said that he and John Lennon were learning to play guitar, and some guy knew how to play a B7 chord.
Yeah.
That they heard, like, some B7. Guy in another part of town. So they took
a
train for 45 minutes, went over to the guy's house, figured out who he was, and said, "We heard you play the B7 chord," and he showed him, and then they went all the way back.
Never do an English accent.
I know it's terrible.
No, that was. That's like a 75% therapy.
See,
like, that's not bad.
You didn't commit to it.
Let me hear yours.
You didn't commit to it.
Well, wait, come on.
You're a comedian. Come on, you got accents. In
yeah, you got. You're a comedian actor. Come
no.
on.
Oh God.
Hey, Ringo.
Okay, stop.
Oh, George, John, and
yeah, Ringo. See?
This is good. It's not bad.
Everyone tries. No. Everyone.
Mine has failed.
You failed.
Yeah. I'm an Indian guy from Los Angeles.
Hey, you do a good Ringo. Indian accent.
So they learned the B7 chord, and then it took a 45-minute train ride to get it.
And you know what? I was like, I am a bastard for just being able to Google a chord.
Bastard.
And I wanna, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
not having to take a train.
So chord
or a bus.
Knowledge wasn't readily available to people.
No,
like then, like
no, not in the 50s.
I guess when you're 15, like you know, then I have a book at the local store, but it's, I don't know, maybe they couldn't afford it or they didn't know where to get it, and like no one knows it, so they know this chord is the Elvis chord, and you know.
That's what's crazy. Like that's what made them so great. They had to work so hard to figure out chords and knowledge. It's just like wow.
Right.
So,
right.
Anyways,
did you ever get crippled by that? Because like I learned guitar. Just like once I got going, you know, I never took lessons again. It was just strictly YouTube. This guy named Marty Schwartz, he runs a website called GuitarJams.com, and he's just this Jewish guy from Oceanside. I've tried to contact him many times, but he's just a guitar teacher on YouTube, and that man taught me guitar.
Wow.
So like I owe everything to this online guitar teacher. So
that
really
met.
Got me going. Never met him. Following him on Instagram now, he's great.
That's awesome.
You know,
you got to send him a message.
He maybe posts a little too much, in my opinion, but he's great.
As do all YouTube stars and sensations.
Yeah, so, yeah, I don't know. Do you think we're crippled by that? You think we're crippled that it's,
I think
I can learn any song on the internet in 10 seconds.
Yep.
Every chord 10 ever.
Seconds. Every chord. And, like, you even showed me, like, oh, you can transpose this. And
you
I was
can
like,
transpose
what?
It right on the website.
Yes, that's crazy.
I don't know. I mean, maybe we should take 45-minute train rides to get, like every time I want to write a new track, I need to run the mile to get it.
Eddie wants me to take a 45-minute train ride to just better my
to
English
where?
Accent.
Yeah.
Hey, Ringo. So, yeah. You got into the Beatles. You got into writing songs. You were, 19 years old, 20 years old?
I was 18, and then the first thing I did was I learned, you know, I think it's a great way to start writing for any writers. What I'd recommend is that you take other people's songs, right? So you have the same chords,
yep.
Same top line vocal melody, and you switch the lyrics. And so you learn how to replace syllables. So I did that, and I just wrote joke songs for everybody. Like, I wrote one for my high school girlfriend, and her name was Haley, and I, you know, changed Hey There Delilah to Hey There Haley. I remember earlier. And so I always made them funny because, like, you know, I would just like, make fun of people. He's like, "Hey, Haley, girl, you're looking kind of huge. I'm not talking about your stomach, though. I'm talking about your boobs." Like, I was too dumb. You know, I was a high school kid. And from there, I started writing my own, you know, pretty quickly after that. And, you know, in college, you know, it was just so bad for so long. And songs just were so bad. Like, you know, they were just one long run-on hook. Like, I was,
right.
I was like, in my little head, I was like, let's just... Oh, everyone loves the hook.
Yeah.
Just write a bunch of hooks in a row.
Right.
No one cares.
Right.
You don't have to organize it. hook. Right. Five. You know, so like I have a videos of me doing open mic, 6.5 minute song. And the song is this. You know, I wrote like a hooky chorus part, and it would just go to another hooky chorus part, different tempo, like different key. I was just fucking all over the place. I didn't know what I was doing.
Wow.
And so eventually I was like, man, how do they go back to the verse after the chorus? That's like a... How do they do that? How do they make it sound good, like
right.
going back? And so eventually...
Those transitions.
You know, I just learned enough songs. The secret is you learn enough cover songs on the guitar, you know, and you get those chords ingrained in you. And you learn, you know, I learned maybe like 600 songs in college just because I was always the guy at the party, the jukebox, the jukebox, you know, mostly the... I loved doing, you know, performing at the parties and having them do sing-alongs and trying to get chicks with you know... So, like, I tried to play all the sing-along, La Bamba, you know, All-Star, Smash Mouth, Twist and Shout by the Beatles, you know.
What was your favorite and worst favorite request?
My favorite and worst, I don't know. I mean, like, the knockouts were All-Star, Smash Mouth was a knockout.
Yeah.
Every time. Twist and Shout by the Beatles was a knockout. La Bamba knocked it out of the park. Follow Me, Uncle Cracker. Huge. I don't know if you guys
Chumbawamba.
Know. Chumbawamba, Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba. Huge.
It's a huge one.
Huge request. So it was always my prerogative and interest. I was like, how can I find
What about
a song?
My prerogative?
Oh, but is that Bobby Brown
or
Britney Spears version?
Oh, Bobby Brown. Come on, let's go OG gangster.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm sure you're a songwriter in that regard, and I'm always fascinated in sing-alongs because the Beatles are like that simplicity.
Oh, it's so
and
good.
So it's like, how can I play a song in a room of 10, 15 people, and when I launch into this, it's so irresistible that everybody has to sing it and everyone's going to sing it. So I was searching for those irresistible jams. And so I actually compiled a list on my computer of like maybe like 35 that made the cut. So
was
like,
No Diggity on there?
No Diggity was on there. No Diggity, Ignition Remix, R. Kelly, No Scrubs, TLC.
Yep.
You know, I can't think of anything else right now, but you know. So
the classics.
So yeah, and once you learn the classics, you know, like, and I was like, you know what, I want to write a song that's like that. I want to write a song that I can play in a room. And so I would always write stupid songs and try to get all my roommates in on it. You know, like I had a song. God, these are just like 6 years old at this point, but like, you know, I live in a 13-person house.
Wow. Even now?
No, not now.
Okay.
For 2 years in a row in college, so it was like fucking disgusting. I mean, truly the most disgusting place you've ever seen. I mean, the dishes were piled. It's like mold in the sink. And so I wrote a song called "Dirty Dishes." It was like a punk song. It's like "Dirty Dishes, Dirty Dishes, Dirty Dishes in the sink," and it was like that. You know, that was a thing. And I tried to write, a bunch of stuff, like a song called "Sex in the Library." Because like that was
like
a dream of mine
going.
In college at UCSB. There's a Davidson Library. That was a big thing for the students, like go have sex in the library. So I never really did it, but I wrote a song, and I think I watched.
You were the soundtrack.
I watched The Secret, and you know you try to manifest things. So
yeah. You wrote that song. You're like, I've got to make this happen.
Yeah, I've written so many fucking songs. It's literally unbelievable. I just like. I don't even know.
But they're hooky. I mean, that's
they're
the thing.
Always, yeah, I don't
you always I'm, keep that hook in mind. Like,
I don't think
always
I've ever written
that.
A song that wasn't catchy. I just don't see the point, to be honest. You know, it's like I have a journal sometimes. I have a journal if I'm feeling stuff. But when I write something, I feel like you can be emotional as you want, depressing, as emotional as you want, and still be catchy. It's like the Beatles do it. Bon Iver does it.
Yep.
You know, Nick Drake does it. Jack Johnson does it. John Mayer does it. So you can be super sad and emotional, but still remain a really good crafted melody.
That's like my favorite. When you have something that's real and emotional,
right.
And then it's also poetic or melodic or hooky, and you're just like, man, I can't get that guitar hook or that melodic hook or the melody,
right.
Whatever it is, harmony, just out of my brain. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right,
but
exactly.
That's that fine line marriage. That must have been a weird transition to go from joke songs to like being like, you know.
Yeah. Well, it took a very long time for me to not be embarrassed to be like, I'm a songwriter. I'm a singer. I'm a, you know, I'm like still sometimes I'm like, you know, but because I'm like a pretty joke, you know, I'm a jokester guy. So it's like always like weird to like take yourself seriously. And I was writing serious songs and joke songs like throughout my whole time doing it. Still am to this day. So it's like, you know, it was always a little embarrassing.
And how'd you get into the production side of things?
I didn't get into that until I was in LA. I guess we can fast forward. Like towards the end of college, just kept doing it.
Easy there. This thing is squeaky.
Yeah. You guys have like normal microphones. I got like this robot arm.
That mic looked nicer, I thought.
Yeah. Do not miss that one.
I can't look at anybody. I got this thing around my face.
Ask, are you the Jewish guy in the building, by the way?
I can't even.
Are you the reason that there's a mezuzah on the door?
I am.
Good. I kissed it on the way. And it's me. You know. I appreciate
it. I wouldn't
that.
Do a radio show without one.
Good. Thank God. Okay. We got some quality control in this place.
It's Hollywood. Of course.
I don't know what I was saying, but anyway, so after college was over, I was in Santa Barbara for about 6 months, you know, so I didn't know what I was doing. I was working at a hotel as a bellman, and I was in a band, and we played, they were a Weezer cover band called Dangercliff, and then I joined it, and it became Slouch. We were very into the 90s, so I was like, how about Slouch, because I had bad posture. My family's always giving me slack on my posture, and I know I made it an original song band. We still played a couple of Weezer classics, but... You know, so I was doing that for 6 months and, you know, playing some shows just in Santa Barbara for the college kids. Like, I played a toga party. It was a real...
Wait, so did you do, what's the big street? Playa da Vista, right?
Del Playa.
Del Playa, that's right.
Yeah,
Del Playa.
I played a toga party and drunk people trying to hop on the mic and, like,
I've done a couple of those parties.
It's like disgusting college guys and... I loved being in a band, but at the same time, the band life is like really difficult. Because, like, you know, when you do a co-write or a collaboration with anybody, I'm sure it's the same with comedy or with music. If you get two people, it's like, okay, you get three people, four people, man, you got all these opinions on how it should be. And it's just, it's really hard. And, you know, I definitely clashed with the band a little bit, but we did have a good time. But I was definitely looking for something more. And I told my band, I was like, if I have an a cappella track, and I could surround it with anything. Let's say just have a cappella, and I could put whatever I want behind it. I'd want like a pop, you know, I want pop
production.
Pop production. I don't want guitars and drums and bass. Like, that's cool. And I still do that to this day. I was doing it literally earlier today. But, you know, I always knew I wanted to do pop. I always loved pop music since, like, age one.
You must love Max Martin.
Oh,
I can
my
tell.
God.
You see that? Mm-hmm. His heart went, woo! I hit it right on the button.
I made a custom Max Martin T-shirt for my friend for his birthday. I should give you one.
Wow!
It's a picture of Max Martin that says melody is better than lyrics, and it's him on the front. And on the back, it's holding the ASCAP award that says every time. I'll get you one.
He's a badass.
So get this. So I was working as a bellman in the place called Hotel Oceana, and I would go on Craigslist every day during my downtime and search on the music ads. Because I knew I wanted to collaborate with more people, just reach out, do more stuff.
Yeah.
And I did a few collaborations within Santa Barbara. It was always just this like weird middle-aged guy that I would just get together with and like try to write a song, and it'd just be awkward and would go nowhere. But I was just down for anything. I was like, I'm fucking jonesing to do something new. And then I saw an ad called the Songwriters Retreat in Ohio. I was like, a songwriters retreat? What the fuck is that? I want in. That's what I want to do. Turns out it was headed by Rob Seals.
Wow,
the
really?
School Los Angeles from Burbank. Yeah. Shout out Rob Seals.
Yeah.
Much love.
What up, Rob?
And a woman named Sophie Eilis, who's just an amazing person. And I went to this. It was a two-day sleep retreat, and they had a bunch of amazing just people from L.A. And Lindy Robbins was one of the featured pop writers there. She's an amazing writer. You probably know her. She's written a lot of...
I don't know a lot of the pop writers. Like, there's so many of them.
Yeah,
so
she's
overwhelming.
Yeah, look her up when you get a chance. But I mean, I did that, and I was always really intimidated of LA. I was like, oh man, I can't hang here. Like, this is like the land of, this is intense here. Like, I couldn't. So I went there and I met like maybe 15 to 20 LA writers, and like I thought maybe like 8 to 12 were awful. And I was like, great.
You're like, wait a minute, like, I can hang.
Not awful, but like, you know, like I can like this, like I can do this.
Yeah.
Like, these people
it's
aren't that good.
Right.
In my head, you really build it up.
Yeah.
So I went to that retreat and then I went home that night. So I drove home from the retreat at like 8 o'clock, got home by like, you know, 10 o'clock or something. And I walked up to my bandmate in the kitchen and I was like kind of telling them about the retreat and I was excited and I could tell they were kind of like, I don't know, they weren't like, they didn't care. But I told them, I said, I quit the band that night, right there.
I quit.
It was like so not like anger, but it was like, listen, I quit. And then I moved out of my house and I said, I'm out of here. And I moved out of my house 2 weeks, moved back to San Diego. And then I found a house in LA in about a month. It took me about a month to find it. And then from there, it was just game over. And I was in L.A. So this is about 3 years ago.
That's crazy.
So I've been in L.A. for 3 years, and I've, you know.
Well, I'm going to stop you there because I want to play some music.
Oh, sure.
We're going to play a song that you actually did a really cool music video for. We're going to talk about that in a second. But what's the name of the song? It's called Burnin'?
It's called Burnin'. It's a track I made with a great producer friend of mine. It goes by the name of Hot Work, Chase Rossner. And it's also featuring Oscar De La Moore and Catherine Eva. So check it out.
Burnin'.
Hey, it's nice to meet ya. I really wanna teach ya. Don't mean to be a preacher. I'm just trying to reach ya, yeah. I see you wanna go up there. But I can tell that you're scared. We got a plan to get there. Waiting on a prayer, yeah. Know you got it in you, know you can. Tell you right now, understand. Fire is burning inside ya. It's burning. If you wanna be a big star, if you wanna be in movies, if you wanna drive a fast car, hey, you better listen to me. Ain't nobody gonna find you till you find your way. Allow me to remind you that you were born to say. Got your first break. And now you make the earth shake. I mean, for goodness sake, you got a song with Drake, yeah. Brand new car in your driveway. Coming fast on the highway. Brand new girl every Friday. Life's turning a last day, yeah. But don't get lost in the stars. Don't forget who you are. Fire. Burning inside ya, still burning. If you wanna be a big star, big star. If you wanna be in movies, if you wanna drive a fast car, hey, you better listen to me. Ain't nobody gonna find you till you find your way. Allow me to remind you that you were born to say.
So let's talk a little bit about this music video. You did a crazy music video.
Yeah, music video is online right now. Just search it on anywhere, any of the platforms. I was moving into a new place in February 1st into Los Feliz. And, you know, I rented a U-Haul truck. And I was like, man, you know what would be a good idea? If I stood in the back of an open U-Haul driving, right, had someone driving and had a camera follow me in a moving car as I moved through traffic performing the song. And, like, you know, I said no idea. So I had to figure out logistics for the video. And then eventually, like, it got crazier and crazier. At first, I was like, I'm going to put a couch back there. And I'm going to have, like four or five girls, like, in a party scenario with, like, a coffee table and a couch. Have them, like, drinking and smoking, you know, like, as if it's a party. But it's, like, a U-Haul. So eventually, I was like, no, that's just because I don't like relying on people to so flaky in this city.
Right.
So eventually,
right.
I got two of the producers. Like, they're like, why don't we get us behind you, we'll stand at 45 degree angles behind you, and we'll, like, you know, DJ and play the parts as if we're performing the song as well. So I was like, all right, man, all right, we got three people in here, we got all their equipment, and we're going to be in a U-Haul. How are we going to not die? So I learned. So I went and I scoped the U-Haul place, and they have, you know, wood bars at about waist level around the U-Haul that you could attach ropes to. So I went to Home Depot and I got some ropes, and we harnessed in by our belt loops. So if you look really close in the video, you can see it. But we're all attached to harnesses on our back. So the back belt loop is attached to the back. So in the whole video, I'm actually leaning forward. So if I didn't have that loop, I would have fallen.
It doesn't take much to rip a belt loop off your pants.
Yeah, I thought of that. And
hardly anything at all.
I just trusted the belt loop. I didn't know, you know. Well, I put it through the belt, too.
Oh, the belt. So okay. Yeah, through the belt. I thought it was just through the belt loop. I'm like, those break all the time.
It might have been just through the belt loop. But it might have been like two belt loops. So, but yeah, they do break. So it was a possibility, you know, definitely a possibility. But so we did that, and then, you know, we got a bunch of Gorilla tape and taped down all the equipment and taped down a mic. And, you know, we scouted a location up in Mulholland Drive. And, you know, we went really early in the morning. So we drove to location first, and then we just set up the entire U-Haul. It took like, you know, an hour and a half to tape everything down and get all the harnesses ready. And then we went to this, just like...
They film it through the windshield?
No.
How'd they film it?
Through a moonroof.
Oh, through a moonroof?
Yeah, holding a camera through a moonroof. And then, you know, we went to a neighborhood, and then we just like, found, like, a flat space. And so it goes flat.
But they, like, go through traffic and stuff,
yeah,
too.
It goes flat through a neighborhood.
It's not one take, is it? Or is it?
It's all one take?
Wow.
We did three takes. So
wow.
We did some, like, editing with it, but it was all one take, 100% real.
Wow.
And then, so we did that, and... You know, if you can't see it in the video, but behind us, there's like seven cars piled up. So we're going real slow. So the driver's only going 25, 30 miles an hour max.
And they're
hating. So we were holding up traffic. So there's seven people behind me. And I'm sitting there like performing. I was like, God, I feel like such an LA fucking dick douche. And these guys are like, maybe late. And I was like, I really am.
What are you doing?
Sorry, I didn't even know what that was.
So
just getting excited over here.
Yeah, you know, we did that, and we just did it in three takes, and it was just like one take, and it was over with, and we did it.
Wow.
You know, and then I had the
idea.
And
you knew you got it.
Yeah, well, yeah, we watched it. And then I had another idea before we started. You guys see that Sean Spicer video on St. Patrick's Day? He was giving the press conference, and he's wearing a green tie.
Yeah.
And the internet puts a green screen. They green screen his tie and mess with it. And I was like, that is hilarious. I was like, I want to do that. And it doesn't cost anything. You just get a green shirt. So I find a green shirt online for like $2. And in the video, I filmed one of the collaborators, one of my partners, Catherine Eva, her singing. I got just her lips. And then so we green screened
it. Yeah, it was on your shirt.
Onto the shirt. So we green screened. So I just added that to the mix. And then that's it. Yeah, we put it out. And, you know, it seems people really are like loving it because
it's so different.
Yeah,
it's all
different.
One shot. You know what I mean?
It's all one shot.
That's what made me. You told me about it a long time ago. And I was like, I got to see this. This is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just like the danger factor. I was like, I got to see this just to make sure that he didn't, you know, do something crazy.
I had a lot of adrenaline. The first take, the first one, I'm like, wow, like I'm literally turning right. Like it got really real once you turn right into traffic. Like you're in the residential area. And I'm like, you know, because I'm just standing right there at the edge of an open U-Haul. Just being held by a little rope on these flimsy belt loops.
Right.
Don't tell my mother.
Did you guys want to go through traffic, or did you just? Or that's part of what you wanted.
Yeah,
you didn't
yeah.
just like. I just don't want to be in a neighborhood doing this.
I wanted traffic. You know, I wanted to look like we were like going as fast as we could possibly go. Like, if I had it my way, I'd do it on the highway. You know, I'd do it on the Autobahn if I could. But you know, so
you'd have a lot of pissed off drivers that if
you'd
did
be
on
dead.
The Autobahn.
You'd probably be dead.
Crazy.
So that was a crazy experience.
I mean, you know what? The story though is awesome, and you have the final product.
We have it. So
and don't do another one of those.
I'm not.
don't press your luck.
I know.
Universe gave that to you as a gimme. That was a gimme.
That was a gimme. Right.
So you know when you usually go into writing, like what's the mode you're thinking of? Are you keeping your finger on the pulse and wanting to know what's going on in pop music?
When I'm writing a new song.
Yep.
I mean, you know, I have Spotify like everybody else, and I listen to New Music Friday, you know, pretty religiously. So, you know, I'm making so much music these days, you know, maybe like finishing at least 3 to 4 songs a month that I don't really listen to a lot of that much outside music because, you know, by the time I'm done making music and I get in my car and I'll listen, I'm so fucking over music. I don't want to hear any more music at all.
Right, that's the
like,
tough part.
I didn't want to go to
a
show, so I listen to a podcast, something like this, or, you know, I love the Brilliant Idiots and a bunch of other podcasts, and I'll do that, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I definitely try to keep it on the, like, you know, there's some stuff that I'm hearing that I'm always, like, damn.
Howard Stern's like my vacation from listening to music
it.
In
yeah,
the car.
I love Howard
Stern.
It's
like I just have to like listen to his interviews, or it's just nice to hear engaging. On the way over here, he did a Guns N' Roses contest where people were playing the drum parts of Guns N' Roses song and the contestants had to guess, but it was played on the ass of one of the guys in the studio. It's like, we'll never do stuff like that, Eddie, so don't worry.
Yeah, this is what you need to cleanse your soul.
That's what you need for ratings.
You need hot rocks and Howard Stern every Sunday. You know what I mean?
So tell me, this next song that you're going to play us, tell us a little backstory about it.
So the next song is called Still Gonna Die, and it's featuring a vocalist who chooses to remain, use her alias, because she hasn't released her first project, so she wants to have control of her first release to the world before she brands it. She goes by Cricket. It's produced by a guy named Noah. God, I'm blanking on his last name. His name's Noah.
Noah?
Whatever.
We'll just call him Noah.
He's Noah, yeah. He knows who he is. But, I'm a big fan of songs that have really, really negative lyricism with a really positive, music part. So this is a song about, how in life, no matter what you do, in L.A. there's such a health craze, you got to eat kale, you got to go for runs, you're going to die no matter what. So you're going to eat kale every day for the rest of your life, and you're going to die. You could, go to church the rest of your day, the rest of your life, and you're going to die. So I don't know why, I just thought that was hilarious. And I still do. So I wrote a song kind of talking about that. It's called Still Gonna Die.
Still Gonna Die. Here it comes.
Still Gonna Die.
I know this guy named Jack who needs a really good smack. I wish I could break him in half like a Kit Kat. Boy, the man thinks he's a star. Got lots of money, big house, nice car. I'm not saying that's not a thing to go after, but do you really gotta go and act like a bastard? Plastered on his face, look of permanent smug. Attitudes like that make me permanent shrug. I just don't get it, don't wanna sound like a cynic, but life is a joke, so is everyone in it. If he wasn't my boss, I would say this here. Yes, straight to his face and I make it real clear. You think you're the shit, you're still gonna die. You made yourself rich, you're still gonna die. You got a nice whip, you're still gonna die. So why be such a prick while you're still alive? You got a nice crib, you're still gonna die. Your girl got fake tits, you're still gonna die. Pond full of koi fish, you're still gonna die. So why be such a prick while you're still alive? Lots of people don't even really think about it, let alone make a song and rap a sing about it, let alone a song that got a catchy ring about it. Guess it doesn't matter, cause we can't do a thing about it. Really hate to say we all go the same way. Hell, you and I might go the same day. Doesn't matter how much lettuce that you put inside your body, how many times you lace up to go jogging. Be a good person, do people favors, go to the church, be a good neighbor, win the Nobel Peace Prize on a gold plaque, give a homeless man the shirt right off your own back. Cause live a good life, you're still gonna die. You could do it alright, you're still gonna die. Never cheat on your wife, you're still gonna die. You might as well sit back, enjoy the ride. Never run a red light, you're still gonna die. Never start a fist fight, you're still gonna die. Only eat egg whites, you're still gonna die. You might as well sit back, enjoy the ride. You're still gonna die. Man, you won't survive. No matter what you try, you're still gon', still gon', still gon' die.
You're still gonna die.
Man, you won't survive. No matter what you try, you're still gon', still gon', still gon' die.
You're still gonna die.
You're still gon' die.
Subject matter.
Yeah.
A little morbid.
It's all true.
So have you ever released a record, or are you just doing singles all the time?
I've released two records, actually, but, I'm kind of the modern style, so, I just release single after single after single, and eventually when I've released enough singles, just package it into an album. Because in my opinion, and it just makes sense to me that if you release an album, you get some buzz going before with a single or two, and then you release it, and you're kind of into it for 3 months, but everyone kind of drops off it pretty quick.
Right.
And I feel like if you have the same amount of, let's say you have 15 songs, what's the best way to drag out that 15 songs lifespan of attention? It seems to me like releasing it one at a time, and then you release an album and act like it's a big deal, and you get so you have those that 3 month album, feeling.
Yeah,
and
you
then
ride the single wave.
But you can ride the single wave for a year. A whole year. You can release one song a month, and I feel like you can just grow that way much better, in my opinion. If you have it, then I don't see why not to do it. But that's kind of what I'm doing. But I'm really kind of off the whole, you know, just like pursuing an artist route as much. Like, I still want to do it and I still love it. But like, my real game right now is like, I really want to get into placement and licensing world, because that seems to be where a lot of the moolah is.
Yep.
You know, I love artist pitch. I love writing love songs and very specific songs like Still Gonna Die. But there's not much place for them unless I was an artist performing them and going on tour and trying to sell them.
Like, it's weird because you have to work them. You have to like...
have to work
really them. Have to work them. It's like treating it like a new sound, and you take it from one city to the next.
Yeah.
I've been doing this 15 years and there's still songs people haven't heard that I'm like, let me play this on my
and
first
no
record.
Gonna, you know, so that's why the placement is just so...
Yeah, it does. It
desirable
runs,
for
it
me.
Runs it for you.
So, like, you know, I want to be in this for forever. I want to be in, I want to be 40 years old and, like, not have to quit and get a real job, quote unquote. You know, so I feel like the best way to do that is to get in the placement licensing world and get stuff placed. So, like, everything I've written in the past maybe 4 to 5 months has been with placement in mind. So, virtually every single song I've ever written in the past, 4 to 5 months.
Wow. So, what's next for you?
I mean, what's next for me is like just trying to get songs placed in TV, commercial, film. So I'm holding a lot of sessions and doing that. And I let people know when I'm writing, like, that's kind of what I'm going for. And so my thing I'm doing now is that, like, I don't usually write unless it's somebody who's got, you know, some kind of connection to some kind of sync opportunity or some kind of resource. And it's not because I don't think people are dope, but like, I've written so many songs at this point, hundreds, that I'm kind of past the whole, let's just do this for the fuck of it.
Right.
You know, like, let's just feel a vibe and jam. Like, you know, I'm a hippie too, but like, you know, I really...
I'm a hippie that wants to eat.
you know how it is. Every song, it's probably the same with comedy. Like, every project, every video, every sketch, every bit is a mountain of work. So if you're going to commit to a mountain of work, you know, there's got to be kickbacks. So I'm sure you've seen it. You know, you've had an artist career for such a long time.
Yep.
You can make all this artist stuff, and you don't see the payback. Eventually, you're like, man, like...
It takes time.
It takes it out of you.
It does take it out of you, but one thing I've learned is that it just takes time. It takes a long... And a lot of people, they give up because they want the instant... It's easy to want that, too. It's like, when you release a record, you want the instant gratification.
You
and
want
I
that
totally
so
get
bad,
that.
Yeah.
Because you've worked so hard just to get it finished.
On that bass sound. Like, on that the EQ of the snare.
Yeah.
Hours.
Yes.
And then no one gives a shit.
And you're like, listen to this bass sound. Yeah.
Listen to that.
But that's
cymbal
the thing. It's like
crash.
You work so hard on something like that, and then when you're finished with it, you deserve... Like, artists deserve that instant gratification.
I agree.
And the, you know, like... One thing that's missing in art that has been around forever is patronage. You know, it's like people actually supporting the arts.
I agree.
That's why Jimi Hendrix, and that's why Mozart, and that's why Shakespeare all existed. They had patrons that were like, I want to support this and make this a thing.
Right.
And be a part of that legacy.
Yeah.
And that's what's, like, now it's been kind of yanked from a lot of artists, so it's commendable that you still are just like pounding the pavement, making music, making art. Do you produce other artists as well?
I mean, I do. When I'm making a song, it's all about the song. I don't really care who sings it. You know, I prefer to sing it in like case scenarios where I can, because it's easier. And like you know, it's just like if you can do it yourself, just do it. I don't have to book somebody. I don't have to rely on somebody.
Yep.
I can just do it right there in my bedroom and get it done. And I don't have to like book somebody, but can you come back?
Well, it's also like you know, I did a session yesterday where it's like just me doing the vocals, and I knocked it out in 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I could just knock it out,
yourself.
Do the whole vocal production, and know like, okay, let me redo that take, like not have to coach anybody. Somebody's after you, Evan.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the production thing is great. You know, I work out of just my home studio. I go to other people's studios. And, you know, LA's a crazy place. There's all these like home studios. Just like, it's like these like mine, it's like Minesweepers, just like all these fucking studios everywhere, and everyone's home. So you walk into a normal house, you walk into their room, it's like, whoa, got monitors, speakers, nice mic, MIDI equipment. And then, you know, it's like, oh, this isn't a real studio, but then you hear the sound.
It's the digital age.
It is.
Yep.
And so that's where I've been at. So I've been producing a lot of tracks.
That makes me sad sometimes, because so many good studios are now not getting booked, which sucks. Because
it sucks.
But they're also charging so much, you know, because the gear is great.
It's just the way it is. You know, it's just the evolution. You can't, you know, it's just the way
you
it goes.
Can't stop progress.
You can't. It's like Charles Darwin. Of studios.
I totally
it's so
agree.
Expensive. It's just like, man, you know. And I think it is ridiculous that people are trying to get music for free. It's like, yep, literally costs thousands of dollars, yep, to make it, like one song,
yep,
and like hours and dollars. It's insane. And you want it, like,
and you won't pay 99 cents for it.
It doesn't, yeah, make any sense.
I totally agree.
$100 to mix and master it. $100 to get all the equipment. Thousands to set it up in the first place. Hours to record it and edit it. You know, and it's like,
yep,
it's like, it doesn't, and people love it. It's not like a, you know, it's not like a art that no one cares. It's not like, you know,
no, everybody wants it. Everybody wants it around, know, but nobody wants to pay for it. That's what's crazy. Let's play your last song. What are you going to play us?
This last one I did with a guy named Tim Hafer, and my ambition for this song is to get licensed to a kids TV show. It's called Jump Rope, and I'll tell you guys a story about the video I just shot on Wednesday right after this.
All your cares away, jump until it's a better day. Stop your work now, it's time to play and jump, jump, jump. Oh, feel so good, yeah, feel so right. Even though that you don't know why, if you want to laugh, if you want to smile, just jump, jump, jump. Oh, jump rope, jump rope, jump rope, jump rope. Everybody jump rope, jump rope, jump rope, jump rope, jump rope. Everybody jump rope, jump rope, jump rope, jump rope, jump rope. Everybody jump rope, jump rope, jump rope, jump rope, jump rope. Everybody jump rope. Do it like your mother taught you, or like your father taught you. Do it like your brother taught you, or like your sister taught you. Go tell your grandma and your grandpa and your cousin though to join along and just jump, jump, jump. Oh, jump rope, jump rope, jump rope, jump rope, jump rope. Everybody jump rope, jump rope, jump rope, jump rope, jump rope. Everybody jump rope, jump rope, jump rope, jump rope, jump rope. Everybody jump rope, jump rope, jump rope, jump rope, jump rope. Everybody jump rope. It's so easy, it's so easy, trust me. Come on, father, jump rope. Come on, brother, come on, sister, jump rope. Come on, mother, come on, father, jump rope. Come on, brother, come on, sister, jump rope. Hey, hey. Jump rope, jump rope, jump rope, jump rope. Everybody jump rope, jump rope, jump rope, jump rope, jump rope. Everybody jump rope, jump rope, jump rope, jump rope, jump rope. Everybody jump rope, jump rope, jump rope. Everybody jump rope. It's so easy, it's so easy, trust me. Hey, it's so easy, could be done by a baby, a little baby. Jump rope, jump rope, jump rope, jump rope. Everybody jump rope.
Yeah. Public Temple to actually jump rope.
Yeah, well, the song was, the BPM was chosen over a sample of a person jump roping. So if you listen so closely, it's like, whoosh, whoosh, there's a sound of a jump roper.
Wow.
And they're looped in there in the beat. So we literally did that. So definitely, if you're a kid show and you want a jump rope song, hit me up. That's my goal, man. I want, yeah, you know, doing kids music would be huge for me too.
Yeah, that's a huge
market.
I have
so many ambitions, but I mean, writing for kids shows, I would love that, you know? I feel like I'd be really good at that. I write a lot nursery rhyme, very simple,
yeah,
pop stuff. So, and I just did the video for it this week. I finished a song, I'm like, what am I going to do? And I was like, is there such a thing as a jump rope team? Turns out there is. I got online, searched wow, jump rope team Los Angeles. Turns out there's a school in Pasadena called the Foothill Forest Jump Rope Team. I emailed a woman named...
Dude, they performed in my elementary school.
You know them?
Yes.
Well, hot dog. So I emailed this woman named Kathy, and I sent her the track. She loved it immediately. We got to talking, and
they're badass
she
too.
She let me use the playground, you know, free of charge, and the kids. And I said, "Listen, can you guys choreograph some dances to the song?" She said, "Let's do it." So I got her out. Actually, no, it was on a Sunday. I was mistaken before, and we drove down to the school, and these kids were like loving it. They were like, and like they were like really strict with it. Like the guy, there's one of the older kids was like, everyone smiles, come on, come on, smiles, and like they were like,
that's
super
awesome,
on it. And so I didn't have to be it and like be like on them at all. And And dude, I don't know if you ever like seen professional or like you
oh,
know
yeah.
They're competitive incredible. Jump roping. They're not just jump roping. They're like on their hands. They're flipping into the jump rope and doing the splits.
And the timing is incredible.
It's insane.
I like the big long jump ropes when they do the big ones.
They're doing like the double dutch.
Yes, that's incredible.
You guys, I mean, I watched some like so there's a couple of the kids there. I think a few went and competed in nationals in Orlando and Washington D.C. So, you know, I thought I was going to go there and it was going to be a bunch of idiots just like, just like single rope, you know. But like, man, was I wrong. Even the little seven-year-olds were unbelievable.
That's awesome.
Unbelievable. So
when are you going to release that video?
You know, as soon as possible.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. And where can people find you, Evan, if they want you to produce a record or if they're looking to get a hold of your songs?
If you're looking for me to produce my record, yeah, I mean, you can always email me, last name, first name, blumevan@gmail.com. You can just, you know, search my name, Evan Blum, into Google. You'll find it on YouTube, Facebook, Evan Blum Music, you know, all the normal thing, Evan Blum Music on Instagram, all the normal shit. But yeah, man, I'm going to keep going, keep making great music.
That's what it's all about. Evan, you are a fantastic guest. Cool. We'll have to have you back. And in the meantime, we'll get Eddie to jump rope, right?
I'll try.
Yeah, come on, Eddie.
I have a single
Come on, do
I
it.
Can do it. I'll do it. You just work on your English accent, I'll jump rope.
Come on, Ringo.
Bye.
Ringo.